Like to welcome Norm Franz into the studio today with me. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing very well, and I just love the Lord, and I'm so excited to see His Word come to pass in these last days. And the reason it's so exciting is because when you understand what's going on from a biblical perspective, the fear that can come leaves.
Yeah, that's right.
It really, really does. And men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what is to come upon the earth in the last days. That's what Yeshua said would be one of the signs, one of the things going on. But boy, when you understand Bible prophecy from a foundation of God's Torah, what happens is you understand what's going on,
yes,
and what's coming, and the fear just goes away. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. That's why I'm doing so good, Pastor.
That's right. That's great. Well, you know, Norm, we stepped into this last week. We're actually in part two of the global economic crisis.
Yes.
And we've been just monitoring what's going on now. And in fact, even in your book, it's just all coming to pass.
All coming to pass.
It's really exciting. And I've been on a journey with you for the last couple of years. You've opened up my eyes in relationship to what the Torah says about money, financial systems, and the end times as it relates to those financial systems. And I just bless God for that. I'm excited. And so I want to read Habakkuk chapter 2, 6 and 7. That's where we left off last week. It's a great passage. Helps us to understand this whole issue of dishonest weights and measures as it relates to finances.
Money and debt and investments.
That's right.
Yes.
It says, will not all these take up a taunt against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans? Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them. Norm, what is this referring to, and what does that look like today?
Well, it goes back to man's original sin, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, which money will fulfill. It's that thing that desires more than what you have, and you're willing to break God's commandments in order to get it. That's the origination or the original sin of man. And when you take that and you bring it into the financial system today, what this is talking about, it's talking about people who are borrowing money to buy something. And because when you borrow money or you throw money at an investment, it causes the price to go artificially high. And so people are borrowing money to buy assets, investments, and so on and so forth, whether it's in the stock market, the bond market, or most recently the real estate market. We've
yes.
really seen this, is that when people borrow money and buy real estate, for example, it forces the prices artificially high. And the real estate doesn't belong to them. So they're actually trying to increase the value of something that they don't even own.
Wow.
Through the use of loans. They're trying to make themselves
yes.
rich with loans. And God is very clear here. He says, will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them.
And foreclosure.
Foreclosure, absolutely. In fact, we're seeing that right now. The Herald Tribune, this just came out the other day. It says, New York, the first wave of Americans to default on their home mortgages appears to be cresting, but a second, far larger one is building with alarming speed. After 2 years of upward spiraling defaults, the problems with mortgages made to people with weak or subprime credit are showing the first tentative signs of leveling off. Well, that sounds good. But the next paragraph says, but with the U.S. economy struggling, homeowners with better credit are now falling behind on their payments in growing numbers. Subprime was the tip of the iceberg, said Thomas Atterbury, president of First Pacific Advisors, an investment firm in Los Angeles that trades mortgage securities. Prime will be far bigger in its impact. In other words, those who had A ratings and the prime market, as far as mortgages, as far as their credit goes, he says that is going to be an even bigger debacle, bigger defaults as we come into this recession. In fact, some of the statistics, I'll just give them to you.
Well, let me just clarify real quick. What you're saying basically is this, that if we thought that the foreclosure wave was
over,
it's not.
It's
and the next
beginning.
One is not only the same, It's actually a much larger wave.
And the reason is because subprime was not a real big part of the overall right. mortgage industry, but the prime and better credit is. But as we come into this recession and people lose jobs and so on and so forth, there's a whole host of things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks of why people would default on a mortgage. That prime market out there of prime borrowers is much bigger, and yes. so the defaults are going to be much bigger. In fact, in this other article here, we have Rubin. He was the White House economist for Bill Clinton. He says a systemic banking crisis will go on for a while with hundreds of banks going belly up. We've already seen some banks, 8 or 9 banks, go belly up in the last year or so. And now that we're coming into even the prime borrowers going delinquent, that's going to collapse even more banks as we move into the future. And that's what he's referring to here. He estimates the financial crisis will lead to credit losses of at least $1 trillion and most likely will be closer to $2 trillion. At this point, $1 trillion isn't a ceiling, it's the floor. In other words, $1 trillion of losses in these banks, that's going to be the minimum that right. they lose and right. probably closer to $2 trillion. They haven't even begun writing down most of the consumer credit losses. And see, now that's a whole other thing, not just the prime real estate mortgages are going belly up now, but also consumer credit, automobile loans, credit cards, things on that order, revolving charge accounts, et cetera, et cetera. People are starting to default on those, and the banks have not even begun to write those down yet.
Right, right.
And that's why he says banks are playing all sorts of accounting gimmicks not to recognize them. There are hundreds of millions of dollars outstanding in home equity loans that eventually could be worth zero. The paradox is they're going to do the opposite poll now. They are overregulating, bailing out the troubled participants, and intervening in every market. In other words, this is what we talked about. It's socialization. The government's coming in and starting to take control of things and starting to bail out. He goes on to say, it is privatizing the gains and profits and socializing the losses. As usual, this is socialism for Wall Street and the rich. In other words,
wow.
that goes back to our last biblical economic review that people can get at our website. It's talking about how our system in their restructuring and trying to keep it up and all the bailouts is bringing all of those assets under the control and ownership of the government, and that is financial socialism.
That's right.
As a prelude to merging the world into a new world order, which is just a code word for one world socialism.
That's right. One world socialism, where the rich get richer and the poor are oppressed. In fact, Hosea 12:7 says, a merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress. And that's exactly what happens when government brings about a socialization of the financial institutions, of the private sectors, and so forth. It just spells oppression for the average person.
Absolutely. In fact, what we're talking about here is chapter 9 of the book Money and Wealth in the New Millennium, which is Babylon's Financial Dialectic. And in that chapter, I go back to ancient Babylon and I show how that particular pattern of creating debt bubbles, collapsing debt bubbles, and confiscating the assets is part of the economic mystery of Babylon. So when the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation refers to the mystery of Babylon, it's not just a religious mystery. It's a political, financial, and religious
yes.
mystery, which
yes.
are the three elements of any empire. You have a political system, a financial system, and a beliefism,
yes.
a one-world beliefism, ultimately.
That's right. You know, and also the whole purpose of creating debt bubbles and collapsing debt bubbles and collecting assets or confiscating assets, really the whole design of that is to enslave people.
The borrower is slave to the lender. That's why God warns us against that. Absolutely.
That's exactly right. You know, and we're going to go into that in the second part of the show. But Norm, I'm thinking to myself, this is Egypt all over again, where he enslaves the people groups around him. Not only the Hebrews, but many other countries were subjugated under Egypt and enslaved. This is all about the slavery of mankind. You know, Yeshua came to set people free, but
Absolutely.
The world system is here to try to enslave people to a corrupt, debauched, immoral world
system.
That's right. Absolutely. In every way, in every way. You know, we're going to get to a break here pretty quick. And so I want you to stay with us as we return to this broadcast. But I want to give out your website, because this book, everything is in the book. Everything that we're doing here is already in the book.
It's in fact, the book. And
this is
the
one
DVDs.
Of the very few books. Yeah, DVDs. And you have just so much more than a book. But this material is coming out of the Blockbuster book that was written in 2001. And it's all coming to pass. It's such an exciting read to visit again and again and again to see that what you had to say is coming to pass. And it's not really even that you're, you know, so much as a prophet seer type guru. It's just basic Torah principles that
exactly.
you've used and pointed out. This is what God says, and when you break them, these are the things that happen. And so it's a great book if you want to understand finances in relationship to the Torah. The name of the book is Money and Wealth in the New Millennium. You can get that Blockbuster book at ascensionministries.net. ASCENSION ministries.net. ASCENSION ministries.net. Stay with us. Thank you for staying with Torah Talk. And I don't know about you, but most of us are busted. And that's right. We're busted because we've been going and fulfilling the lust of our flesh by borrowing money from this monetary system, these banks, to get the things we want in our flesh. And I'll tell you what.
It's a debt-based monetary system.
It's a debt-based monetary system, and we're in debt up to our eyeballs. And the recession is here, and I cannot pay my bills. And if I don't, just like the songwriter said, they're going to rise up and come and confiscate my good.
It's the Church of Laodicea, Pastor, where they think that they are rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. But overnight, they find out that they're poor and wretched and miserable and blind and naked. And that's
right.
where a lot of people in the church are. They thought, well, you know, I've got this house and I've got this car and so on and so forth. But the next thing you know, they owe more on those assets than they can possibly sell those assets for. And all of that artificial wealth has gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
And instead of appearing rich and wealthy and have need of nothing, they actually find out that they're poor and wretched and blind and miserable and naked.
That's right.
It is the Church of Laodicea yes. in the last days.
That's right. As a result of bowing at the altar of this particular type of monetary system. You bet.
I call it bowing at the altar of the loan window at the bank.
There you go. The altar of the loan window at the bank. Well, let me ask you, is this phenomenon we're seeing in terms of the debt bubbles, the collapses, the confiscation, this whole push towards financial socialism in the last days, is this phenomenon an end time Bible prophecy? And if so, where is it?
Absolutely. A couple places. The first thing is Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. What we're seeing right now in the economy is we're seeing recession and inflation at the same time.
Right.
And in a debt-based monetary currency, that is the corner that it ultimately paints itself into, where they have the recession and inflation at the same time. And that's what Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 says. It starts out saying, "And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come,' and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands." In the Bible, scales always represent the monetary system.
Right.
Because that was in the marketplace, and when they bought and they sold goods and services, they always used scales, because the weight of something like wheat or corn or whatever, they would put it up there, and then they would put the gold or the silver on the other side, and then they would weigh that out.
Yes.
But this particular monetary system produces a phenomenon that starts in verse 6. It says, "And I heard, as it were, a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for denarius,'" and a denarius just represents a day's wages, "and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." And here's what we're looking at. We're looking at a monetary system that inflates prices and puts pressure on wages, which always come during recession. So you have inflation and recession at the same time, so that people have to work all day just to provide their needs. A quart of wheat is roughly 2,000 calories, which is about what a person needs to sustain himself every day. So he works all day for a quart of wheat, which represents a day's worth of sustenance. So the bottom line is there is no savings. There's no national savings. And the net national savings for the United States, and in large part the world now, but especially in the United States, has been less than zero for over a year now. And so this is a manifestation. What we're seeing right now is a manifestation of Revelation 6 and verse 5. And I know that that goes against some of the premillennials, pre-tribulationist doctrine, but you just have to get over it because that's where we are at right now as we speak.
Yeah, the scorecard doesn't lie.
Yeah.
I mean, busted. My bills are piling up, and I don't got enough money to pay them. You know, now I got to go down and try to get another loan.
But I'll tell you what, if you talk to people who are out of debt and walking in the ways of the Lord, they'll tell you they're the richest people in the world. They may not have a lot of assets necessarily, but they're rich because they are free.
They're free. In fact, you've brought up this quote a number of times, and I just love it. It says, this fulfills an eternal principle regarding money. Gold is the money of kings. Silver is the money of gentlemen. Barter is the money of peasants. And debt is the money of slaves.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, are you a king, a gentleman, a peasant, or a slave? And I'm saying that in America today, the vast majority of Americans are slaves, and they're starting to wake up, and you're starting to figure this out.
Oh, there's a lot of people that we've ministered to over the years that embrace this. They saw the revelation of it, and they embraced it. They didn't have to wait for the crises to come in their life. They saw the Word of God. God witnessed by His Spirit that it was true, and they began coming out of debt before what we're in now started. And all of those people that have done that are still with us, Ascension Ministries, and they call me periodically and they say, thank you for daring to speak that message when times were good and it didn't look like it, but you came and you ministered that message. And I always say, well, thank you for seeing the truth and responding to it. And because you did, you're blessed now in the midst of crises, where those who didn't are cursed in the midst of crises.
That's right.
They're saved and going to heaven, but they're cursed in their finances because they didn't follow God's laws.
That's exactly right. You know, Norm, that's such a fascinating thing when you see that manifesting all around us. And God has spoken to us. He loves us, and He wants us to be the head and not the tail.
Absolutely.
He wants us to be blessed in our economy and everything that we do. But really, it's tied into His commandments. If we obey Him and walk in His commandments, then we will be blessed in our economy and in our businesses and in our houses and our offspring, in every aspect of our lives. But if we break His laws and try to fulfill the lust of our flesh using loans to do it, He says He's already predicted and prophesied and spelled out what would happen. And that would be the collapse of our economy. We would come to a place of servitude.
Of slavery, yes.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, one of the curses is, the alien who lives among you shall increase and rise up higher and higher until you become His servant.
That's
exactly what's going on in America today with the illegal aliens. And all of this is coming to pass. It's
Absolutely. All
in the scriptures. And we as a nation, we have violated God's covenant and His principles over and over and over for decades. And now it's coming home to roost, and it's all around us.
That's right. And in the beginning, in the first verse of Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you keep all my commandments, I'll raise you up above the nations.
Yes.
And see, the church, unfortunately, thinks it can prophesy and give offerings and confess its way to being above the nations, but you'll never rise above the nations if you walk like the nations.
That's right.
You have to come out and you have to walk God's way.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people out there are asking, well, what can we do? Well, the first thing we have to do, before you really even get any, quote, specifics on stuff, you have to commit in your heart to come back and study God's laws and apply them in your life. Because the bottom line is that you can confess all you want and you can give offerings all you want, but it will not override the transgression of God's law that always brings a curse.
That's
right.
It
brings a curse. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 29 verse 9 says, so keep the words of this covenant, and the covenant is defined in the Torah as God's commandments.
Yes, that's
specifically
right.
Specifically the Ten Commandments, but the covenant goes back to the commandments. So when it says keep the covenant, he's saying keep the commandments.
Yes,
because the commandments are the covenant. And the commandments were in the Ark of the Covenant.
That's
That's what it was all about. But he says, so keep the words of this covenant and do them. Not just talk about them, and do them that you may prosper in all that you do.
Yes.
See, the real key is that as we walk in the commandments of God, then whatever we're doing will prosper.
Yes.
A lot of people are seeking prosperity, and they're also seeking purpose. God, what is my purpose? What is my destiny? What is this? And yes, we have a destiny, but the bottom line is it's not about what we're doing. It's about how we're doing it. Because sometimes we can understand what we're called to, but if we don't do it God's way, we'll never
get to fulfill
what we're called to do.
In fact, one of the biggest things will keep you from your destiny is a thing called mammon.
Yes.
And that is the pursuit of wealth through illicit mechanisms like what we've done in America,
the
debt-based system. Yeah. You know, I've met so many people, and it's so true, even in my life to a certain degree. It's been, you know, God's got a call in our lives. We want to do what we're called to do.
I think we can do whatever we want in order to fulfill that call, but we can't.
We can't, because when God says, okay, come over here and do this, we say, well, just a minute, let me go talk to my bank and the person who's holding the note on my house, and let me ask them if I can do that. Hey, can I take some time off, and can I miss a couple payments? And then our other master, mammon, says, no, you can't do that. And then we go back to Jesus and we say, Jesus, we'd really like to do this for you, but we can't because our other master said no.
Yeah.
That's why Yeshua said, that's why Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters.
That's why you can't serve God and mammon.
That's right.
Time.
And so until we get free of mammon, we'll never reach our destiny. And that's where, when you say walk in the commandments, specifically, where would we start? By repenting and saying, God, forgive me for borrowing money and taking out loans so I could fulfill the lust of my flesh with houses and cars and this and that. I've transgressed your ways, and forgive me, and I will not facilitate my wants.
I won't live beyond my means.
I'm not going to live beyond. That's right. I'm closing that whole debt scenario in my life, and now I'm going to focus on getting out of the current debt I have.
Yes.
That's my first steps. Repentance and change the way I'm living. Live well within my means and begin my debt reduction today.
Yeah, God's not going to prosper you as long as you're a slave to the system. He's not really going to bring you the prosperity of the kingdom as long as you're in slavery to the system. And catch this, Pastor, when you borrow the money from the banker, you're the banker's slave because he's lent you the money. And the interest that you're paying on the money makes you a slave to the money itself.
Yes. In fact, it's also a tithe
to the world
system.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, if that doesn't ruin your day, tune in next week. We'll try to do that again. But honestly, we can have hope because in Messiah, we can find freedom as we change our ways. You know, he said it well, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And as we discover the truth and change our ways, we can begin to walk in greater and greater measures of freedom. And then in that freedom, actualize our potential and our destiny.